Hello and welcome to the graduate series of the Charity Freelancer podcast, a special series where I give recent graduates from Glasgow Cal University a chance to let their personalities shine as they embark into creative industries. In this episode, I am joined by Luke Ashton. Hello, Luke. How are you? And welcome to the podcast.
Howdy. I'm doing grand, I think.
How are you feeling now that everything's sort of done?
Yeah. So free. I mean, I'm in that kind of medium space where it's like, I feel great about everything until I graduate, until I get the results back.
Yeah.
Like, the world's great, you know, given on that variable that I do actually graduate. I do pass, but...
I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have. Absolutely. But I sent you a bunch of questions, and you've picked five from those bunch of questions. All those questions are being personally handpicked by creative directors, studio owners. So, yeah, I am just going to get started and right into the first question for you, Luke, which is... what made you want to be a designer?
So I'm kind of like, I've always been a very kind of like shy person.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically remember in high school, I think second or third year, it was my first time doing kind of graphics properly. Like, we'd done like the drawing and stuff, but this was the first time getting a computer,
yeah,
making some advertisements. Mm-hmm. And so we had a project where we modeled like a Lego figure,
mm-hmm,
and then we had to make an ad for said Lego figure. So designed it all up.
Yeah.
And I made it, and this is like the first time I really got like a, like, I really enjoyed it. I was like, this, mm-hmm, is so cool and interesting to like move all the elements about. Mm-hmm. It was like a kind of like Illustrator type software. Yes. And I made this, and I was very proud of it. In retrospect, wasn't great. From what I remember of it, I would say, oh, that's just a bit, it's not good. But the thing that really got me is that I took it to my teacher, and he was definitely like, he was a tech teacher made to do graphics. So he didn't have the passion like,
yeah,
I quite did.
Mm-hmm.
And he took one look at it, goes, aye, that's good. But before I pass you, you need to put like a smiling child in it.
Oh.
And I go, huh? And he goes like, well, you know, it's like an ad for a kid's toy. So maybe like just like a child like smiling or something. Like, he pulls up a wee image of just like a stock photo of a child laughing. And I go, well, you see, that doesn't really fit. It's kind of like the way the ad looks, that would look bad, I'm pretty sure. I don't know much about design, but that would look bad.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, do it and I'll pass you. And I was like, okay, fine. Oh. And I go back and I do it and I realize it looks way worse.
Yeah.
I managed to fit it in and make it kind of look good. So I think, like, in just that experience, mm-hmm, it set me like a fire. I was like, I need to learn why this is bad,
yeah,
to put the thing. I didn't have any of the words to say why I thought it was bad, but, mm-hmm, I had to get the education, I think, to like, mm-hmm, be able to clearly articulate that so that next time I could say no,
mm-hmm,
put a thing in.
Yeah, that's so, not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, stop telling me that.
And I think on top of that, just like the problem solving of it as well. Like,
yeah.
I think that was the combining of like the passion element of it, but working on those constraints where it's like, mm-hmm, you need to figure out how you're doing it as well. You need to work in this thing. I think that was very interesting. I think it was also a good like little microcosm of what working, mm-hmm, with a client is like.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, there's a lot of that just
back and forth.
You get a passion thing. They say, well, we need this. And
yeah.
Okay, fine. Have to relent on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a long old tale of the, mm-hmm, customer's always right sort of, yeah, thing. But at the same time, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you certainly do now that you've, you know, yes, been studying it
now
for so long.
Now I've got a few years on my belt, I could go back and say,
yeah,
the child was a bit cliche, I don't think.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, I didn't need it.
Didn't need to work. I love that. I think problem solving is like a great, mm-hmm, thing to want, why you should want to be a designer, because I love that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love being presented with like an issue or something, and then you literally create something from nothing,
mm-hmm,
to be able to solve that issue, which is really fucking cool, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love that. That's why, yeah, what made you want to be a designer. So the second question that I had for you was, tell me about a project where you were happiest / proudest of, and why was that?
I think, yeah, so it's for me, I think probably like there have been so many great projects, mm-hmm, working on this, and so many great like self-driven ones, and I think the one that really stuck out to me was the Vault City hydrogen project.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Did in the first year. Where we had to work with the beer company Vault City to make to design a sister brand for like a sour cider.
Nice.
Come up with the flavor and all that, and so like that brief was really fun to start with, you know.
Yeah.
The idea of your own flavor, you get to do this.
Yeah.
And as well as that, it was a team project,
mm-hmm,
that was also like a bit of a competition as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I lucked out. The team I was with, I think I spoke to some people who maybe got teams that didn't work quite as well together, but we just hit the ground running. We had like a really good kind of flow, I think.
Yeah.
And just that whole project, it was so fun. You know, we ended up making like a Halloween themed cider that was kind of like toffee apples and all that, and we got to do all the ads. And so like my kind of main role in that became like as the lead animator guy. I did all the motion design.
Yeah.
And so like I got to make these two like B movie styled horror horror film type ads of like a mad scientist, you know, like a Frankenstein type thing. We call him Dr. Drunkenstein. We were working on it. And then he pulls the lever and it like all the electricity in the can rises up and all that stuff. I think that was like, it was so fun to work as a team. It was so cool to be in that kind of space.
Yeah.
And such a fun brief. And I think the work we, like, I think the can design, which like a few of my other team members, they were more responsible for that. That was fantastic. But also that, like, coming to that, we had, there was a day where, at the time, it felt like we wasted a whole bunch of time because we basically just shouted at each other for an entire day. We just argued back and forth, like, made all these designs which we didn't use.
Yeah.
But after that, one of us went away, took everything that we kind of spoke about and made one can design.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, that was such like a useful use of time. It didn't seem like it when we were doing it. Mm-hmm. We were all a bit, you're tired and just like sick of it. But it really showed us, you know, kind of getting to that stage and mm-hmm. that process. And mm-hmm. I think also just on motion design, it's something that I hated the first couple times I did it.
Yeah.
I think that's like through college and uni. When you do a motion design thing, mm-hmm. it's usually like 30 seconds to a minute. It's a big project, and it's like, it's usually kind of narrative thing, like it's a lot to do. And I think this is the first time I was working on a motion design thing that was just like almost supplementary. It was like 15 seconds, mm-hmm. easy,
mm-hmm.
just go in and do it. And I think that was the first time I kind of had that workflow of just working on an animation. And
now
motion design is definitely something that I quite enjoy.
Yes.
Especially, I think that was the first one. I was like, this can be fun, I think.
Like, when you've already got the established
mm-hmm. yeah.
thing there, and then what you're doing is taking it and moving it. Mm-hmm. That is, it's kind of less intimidating, so mm-hmm. to speak, because you're not having to, like, also do all the design for the can and all the ideation and like, everything that leads up to that point. You're just saying, okay, we've got this product mm-hmm. now. Let's make it move in a really fucking cool way.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that look, because that sounds so cool. Like, that is right up my street. Like, I love the concept mm-hmm. of like the, like, you know, it sounds, I'm just like picturing it in my head and I'm like, I need to see this, because is it what I picture in my head? Because it sounds amazing.
Well, it'll be up on my portfolio website probably once I get that ironed out soon.
It sounds incredible, and it's nice to hear that you enjoy working as part of a team as well. Like, a lot of you have said that.
It's been, and I think it's obviously going to be to your own experience. I think every team I've been put in has just been really great to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely lucked out in my experience, but I think it's just like a lot of fun, especially when you can show each other's different strengths, because like I'm not a big UI UX person
and
doing everything, like seeing people who that is their strength just go off and like do it so well and give me room to not, that's just that's what I'm all about. That's great to kind of experience.
It's just playing to your strengths for sure. So do you think if you hadn't been in a team that you would have came up with that concept, would it have been as good as it was?
I don't know, I mean the idea of how we got there, I don't know. I definitely don't think so, because mm-hmm. reflect on it, like I was the only guy who drank cider on the actual team. Everyone else was, you know, beer or spirits or whatever. So I was like, well, the only cider I like is apples, so that's the mindset I'm in. But they were all like, well, let's try this and that, and that kind of pushback
is
how we kind of derived out a different idea from there. So definitely think, without being mm-hmm. in that kind of push and pull of mm-hmm. the team context, it definitely wouldn't have been nearly stylized. I don't think it wouldn't have been that kind of mm-hmm. space. I think mm-hmm. definitely it's teamwork that
elevated it. And I'm like, I'm so excited about that. I want to see it. And the third question I have for you, Luke, is how do you handle creative blocks or moments where you're not feeling very inspired?
See, for this, it's mostly panic. That's a big one. No, I'm very good. I feel like I'm very good at convincing myself that I've never been a good designer. As soon as I get any amount of creative block, that's the go-to. I've never been a good designer, never did anything good. But I found, like, this has not really helped that much with uni when it's insane deadlines.
Mm.
But I found with other stuff, just working on something fun, finding like I make a lot of posters that are just like silly and goofy.
Yeah,
I think those are great when you can just like you find an image, and I feel like it's when you're working in the constraints of a brief, that's where I mostly get the kind of creative block stuff.
Yes.
And so I think just doing something, just, I feel like it's difficult because you're going to have to let that creative block just undo itself. You have to let it kind of come back to you. But I found that letting it come back to you in a different space helps a whole lot. So if you just like, you know, look on a few design pages or something, or you see an image and you think that would be fun in this context, not anything to do with what you're doing.
Yes.
Make a poster of that. That kind of gets it going again, I feel like. And so that's definitely, just get. I think just getting it going at all is definitely the big thing. Because there have been times where I've definitely got like very in my own head and just like stuck in a corner of like, this is never going to, you know, how am I going to finish uni if I can't do a logo, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all that stuff. But
catastrophizing.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I can relate to that for sure. And then sometimes it does just take, you know, going away for an hour and working on something else and doing something that's not relevant to the workload or anything like that. And it's just something that you just kind of feel like doing in the moment. Like, I feel like that's so... That was kind of where I really found joy in design, was just doing, like, fun things for myself. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, that's going to fuel me in other areas because I've kind of let myself enjoy that thing. And now I'm, like, feeling really inspired and I can return back to the other stuff and have a bit of a different perspective now that I've kind of fulfilled my refilled the tank, so to speak. Because it is, it's like being a creative is, it can be draining at times where you're kind of on demand a little bit and you're just like, you know, you're having to do this thing and it's not fucking working, it's not coming in. It's just like, I want to go and make a poster right now. What kind of movie do you make? Movie posters?
Is it make just like dumb posters. That's how I describe them. It's just like, mostly it's just like a little, like a, I think of a funny sentence.
Right.
Like I'd made one that was just Red Onion Appreciation Association or something like that. And I just thought, that's a funny idea. Just someone who's really about red onions. And then so I, from there, you know, like chopped a bunch of red onions, took pictures of that.
Yeah.
And then like drew around it, edited that in, made like a poster of that. I was like, that's fun. That was nice.
I love that.
Pleasant start to finish.
Yeah. Red onions. Like, I fucking love red onions.
Love red onions.
Who doesn't like red onions? Delicious. They're so great in a salad. They can be nice fried, stir fry. You know, I like them in anyway. They're so good. I love that. I love that as your mode of inspiration. And what has been your sort of highlight for your university experience?
I think, for me personally, I think it'd have to be creating conversations and speaking at that.
Yes.
Because, as I've said before, I am and especially was a very shy person. And I think kind of leaving high school straight into lockdown and then doing lockdown for like the first year and a half of college, I very much kind of like closed up a lot. And I think, I don't know, I feel like doing that in fourth year really spoke to the fact that I had kind of moved on, that I had progressed a bit. And it was very kind of nice for me to see that like the idea of speaking in front of a bunch of people in like a proper room with the lights on and the presentation screen on you, that would have made me throw up, you know, like a year ago. But I don't think uni's just built me up. College uni, all that has built me up to this point where it's like, it's fine, who really cares?
Get up and talk. Because that was like creating conversations. It was a really good venue. It was like a design talk. Like it was a design talk. Like that's what it wasn't just like getting up in front of your class and doing a presentation. It was like full on. Like there was industry people there and mentors and other students, like, you know, faculty. Like it was it was great. It was such a good event. Like it was absolutely fantastic. And they do it sort of what time of year do they do it? Kind of end of last year, was it?
Start of this year.
So it's just, it's a nice time for you guys to be able to have that opportunity to do that. And your talk was great. I remember your talk was great. It was so interesting. And your dissertation and stuff, like how did your dissertation go? Like
I thought it was quite, everything really had a lot of rocky bits at the start, like just finding a topic. I struggled so much to get something in that kind of space. And it was eventually when I came onto the kind of like looking at the manosphere and all that stuff and all the that rubbish, like I found something that I was really interested in. I have been like looking at a lot of like stuff in that space, trying to like counter all that stuff, for a long time.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that that kind of made sense already. And, and it was just like, I did like some, I hit some other bumps right after that where I, the ethics manager told me that I couldn't do any, what do you call them, surveys or anything.
Oh, no.
So my first-hand research was a little limited, but I did get to do two interviews with therapists. And it was so, I was a bit unsure at the time. I was like, I don't know how much first-hand research, how much will that help me with my design thing? But as soon as I did them, I was like, oh, that's great. That's like, that's given me the the space, like the entire like methodology of how I'm going to do this. It's just fully set me up.
Yeah.
And so like, I think at the time there was a lot of like, why do we need to do research and all that? We're designers. But afterwards, I get why we do a researchy task like that, or a big research project, because it is, because we've done research. We do research for everything that you're designing, but it was that space of kind of research and that kind of
quite thorough and very long, very like just like a bit more tangible as well. Like, what did you end up making out of your...
What I ended up making was a series of posters.
Uh-huh.
I can, the kind of idea I want to look for is that throughout the entire thing, I've been using the word manosphere, and I know it, and everyone around me now knows it. But it's a pretty, not everyone does. Like, the amount of people you say it to, and they go,
excuse me?
So, yeah, I was trying to, like, get the get some wording out there, make clarify things. And there's the amount of, and it was just basically, like, taking broad terms that apply to the manosphere and all that stuff, maybe terms that are used within the manosphere, and giving, like, a proper meaning. So I made, like, a poster series like that. They could be like hung up in schools, stuff like that, you know, public spaces. And the kind of main thing was I made a series of TikTok short form like videos, because that's where like all of this stuff is, like all the manosphere, Andrew Tate stuff, it all takes off on TikTok.
Yeah.
So made like a series of videos that would, it would look like an Andrew Tate video or like these manosphere whatevers, you know, it'd be like a slow motion clip of a guy in a suit walking down a hall. And it would be like, man rules, man don't trust anyone, you know, just like that stuff. And then it would do, and it would have like the big, big funk music playing, and then it would cut, hard cut, black screen, and then be like, what the kind of underlying meaning of that might be.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the reason why they say that men should be alone is so that you're more isolated, so that you're more likely to buy into the whole manosphere stuff. So it was like looking at the kind of underlying issues, the mental health things as well, because that was another element of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So... yeah, so then, so I thought I was really happy with that, and I thought the, I thought I'd managed to like hit the manosphere vibe perfectly. That was the one thing I'd say, that it was like, it felt like I was watching manosphere videos, which I was quite happy about. So yeah, I
think, sort of taking the piss out of it.
Yeah, it was just like, because that's the issue, is you just get so caught up in your head, you're just like, oh yeah, this makes sense, yeah, 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 you watch another one, you watch another one. So I was kind of thinking, it was like, I was inspired by, so weird, I had to reference in my dissertation an Instagram, basically an Instagram meme account.
Okay.
At this point, it was called like it was called Get Off IG Daily or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And what it was every day is, it's a video where like it starts off as like this, the kind of TikTok sludge that you see, and then it's like it hard cuts, and it's like you're watching some rubbish you don't really want to watch, and it kind of like wakes up your brain.
So
I was looking at that kind of stuff with like, like if you're watching just like an endless parade of Andrew Tate clips and dumb stuff, having a video pop up that's like, are you sure this is good? Are you sure this is something you like? So it could like pop up as, the way TikTok does ads as well. It would just pop up as you're sweeping swiping through. I think that would be kind of, I think that seemed like the most effective way to kind of get people out of the trance of it, because that's what it is, what a lot of it is.
Yeah, it's like minds numbing and it, sort of brainwashing.
The TikTok algorithm and all these types of videos, they are meant to just give you a dopamine rush. They just give you what your brain wants right at that moment. And like, that's very easy to, like, it's basically just hypnosis. That's like, it gives you the drugs your brain wants right then and there, you know. So it's, it is as close to hypnosis as you can get. So
I'd be interested to see that as well, because that's, it sounds like you're really passionate about that subject too.
Definitely.
Which has probably really helped you with the project as well. So I'm going to check out your portfolio as soon as I can.
As soon as I get it.
You will. You will. You have every faith. So the last question that I have for you, Luke, was, what is your biggest aspiration as a designer?
This kind of... when I was with the Crane Conversations recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or sorry, Cali Creates recently.
Yeah.
I was, with the posters and all the logo work and all that, that was my poster that was made for like the
final thingy.
And that was like the coolest thing to me, of just go walking in a building and seeing something I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
That was so insane. I mean, when I first like went in, I was like, that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just the biggest thing, that like seeing my stuff mm-hmm. in the real world. I feel mm-hmm. like that is the biggest hope that I have. Like if I like the idea of walking down the street and I see a van and that's got like a big logo on the side of it for like a tailor, I'm like, I mean, that logo. That's just like, that's yeah. what I'm kind of, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
It's just so insane to me that I just, that's what I want to make real, I
guess. Yeah, I love that. I didn't know it was your poster. That's yeah. amazing. Because they were everywhere.
Yeah, they made a lot. I'm going to try and see if I can get a big
You one. Should definitely get one for sure, because that's great. Like, I think, you know, we live in such a digital space mm-hmm. and it's nice to see more tangible physical things mm-hmm. in the world. Like, you know, design is yeah. everywhere, not just digitally. So I can imagine that it'd be so rewarding to be like, mm-hmm. that's my fucking poster up there. Like, I did that and everyone's looking at it and everyone's using it as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I can relate to that feeling of wanting to see that more. And hopefully yeah. you do. What's your kind of hopes then for going into industry? Are you, what kind of work are you looking for?
I think predominantly in the kind of graphic design space, like yes. Making logos, brand ideas, all that. I think advertising, that's been very fun, you know, like mm-hmm. with the Vault City stuff, as yeah. well as like the, even making the kind of awareness campaign stuff, just like making that content that reaches people, mm-hmm. I'd like that idea a lot.
Yes.
And as well as that, I have been like definitely veering more towards kind of motion stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I've been looking into doing more, like making some motion posters in my free time and stuff like nice. That, just because I've just, the past few motion things I've done, it's been real fun. It's been a real yeah. pleasant experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's also just very cool. I think like, yeah. posters are cool, and I can love, like, I can look at thousands of posters, but there's something just about, like, an animated thing that I'm like,
yeah.
Something about that.
Brings it to life.
Yeah.
Much more. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I have every faith that you will go into industry mm-hmm. with, yeah, everything behind you, what you've done at uni. And just, yeah, be amazing, because these are all amazing designers. Like, I was yeah. saying that, you know, every year there's great, but, like, this year specifically, mm-hmm. I think everyone's work has been definitely. So high quality. And
especially seeing Calorie and Crates. And that was really great as well, because obviously, like, the posters are up mm-hmm. so big, and you can see that, and like, oh, that's cool. But it was the showreels, and seeing, like, having UIX people, like, set up mm-hmm. as well, because I feel like you don't get the chance to see UI UX that often, mm-hmm. I feel like, with the, it's just not as easy to display.
Yeah,
so going
yeah.
around and seeing people and be like, man, I can't do any of this. This is bananas. We did the same course and got taught the same things, and you made this.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like that perspective. Like, everyone's taken whatever they've mm-hmm. needed out of it, and everyone's yeah. still different in their own way, mm-hmm. even though you all did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we went to the same place, but they took out something completely different.
Yeah,
and I love that. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was a great event. It was so nice mm-hmm. to see everyone's work. So you're gonna smash it. You'll be grand. But give yourself some. I've said this to all the students. Give yourself mm-hmm. a little bit of time to just
yeah.
decompress. Definitely. It's been a bit of an intense year, I imagine. Yeah. So yeah,
and I think in like right after uni finished, I had like jury for a good while, so that was quite,
oh my god,
I was quite logging on. And then right after that, I was part of the team like setting up Cali Crates as well, yeah. so I was like moving the tables around. I was like, oh, I just need a week. I'm just lying in my bed doing nothing, hopefully. Yeah. I'll be this week,
fingers crossed. So the last question I have for you, the most important mm-hmm. question I have for you, Luke, is what is your movie of the week and the tastiest pie you've ever had? Now it okay. can be your favourite movie, it can be a movie you've watched recently, whatever you fancy.
I think a bit of both. I recently rewatched, and it is one of my favourite movies, I recently rewatched Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, nice.
Love that film. So joyous. Just something about it.
Yeah.
It just feels right, especially with like the sun's out, you know, it just feels.
Yeah.
Just feels nice. Yeah. Like that. I'd say for the favourite pie, this is very specific, but there was a wee bakery next to my high school called Barry Douglas's,
mm-hmm.
and we always used to go down because you get a roll and sausage, you get like mm-hmm. massive cakes and stuff like that.
It's ideal.
But there's a few times I went down and they'd have scotch pies, And this is the first time I had a scotch pie with like onions in it. And that was delightful.
Game
it was
changer.
It was one of the best things. It was just like every time I'd see it, I was like, yes. No, it was like such flaky pastry, but it was so greasy and
nice. Scotch pie with onions in.
Onions in. So good.
Oh, yum. I'm so hungry. We were saying that to Stella. No, we were talking about food and we were like, I'm fucking ravenous.
Yes.
I need food and I need it now. But good choices. I've not seen Napoleon Dynamite in a long, long time. But I feel like I see it everywhere, like memes. I see like Napoleon Dynamite memes all the time. That's such, oh my God, what is that? What's a bit really with a llama? So not a bit with a llama.
Yeah, he's feeding the cute llamas, I think. Feeding the llamas.
So silly. But it's so great. Great choices, Luke. Great choices. So before we head off, is there anything you want to say? Anything that I haven't asked you? Any advice you want to give? Anything you want to mention before we go?
I'd probably say that for any if there are any third years listening, going into fourth year, just pick something fun. For your honours. You have a whole summer. Really, they say that you should like figure out in third year, but you have a whole summer to figure out what you're doing for honours.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I picked quite a serious topic, you know, a friend of mine did like just like a awareness campaign for a band or like a media campaign for a band that you'd know.
Yeah.
You can do something fun. I think a lot of like with the Design for Change and all the kind of serious stuff and the RSPI and all that stuff you do in first year, you feel like, speaking to people, that's the big takeaway is like, honours is something serious, something important, but like you can research most things.
Yes.
You can do something fun. If you want to just make like, I don't know, something weird, something fun, you can. That's your freedom.
Yes. Awesome. Great advice. Look, I totally agree with that. Like you are in control of what you do.
Yes.
Don't feel like you have to do something boring because just because it's a dissertation.
Yeah.
great advice. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
On LinkedIn. I think my name's Luke Ashton on that. Prepared
I think
for
it is, yes.
I'm on Instagram, Luke Ash Design, probably. I don't really remember.
That's all right. I'll link everything in the bio anyway, so don't you worry about it.
So yeah, those are my two spots. You can see funny posters. If you want to see funny posters, I'm also going to post like all my uni stuff.
Yeah, and get that portfolio sorted.
Get that portfolio sorted.
Yes, because I want to see that cider campaign really badly. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Luke. I really, really appreciate it. It was lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.